welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Modern comedy has always been dominated by men. Pioneers such as Moms Mabley, Phyllis Diller, Carol Burnett, they chipped away at the stereotypes about women comedians. And a young Joan Rivers made a direct strike during a stand-up routine on The Ed Sullivan Show in 1967.
A girl can't call. Girl, you have to wait for the phone to ring, right? And when you finally go on the date, the girl has to be well-dressed. The face has to look nice. The hair has to be in shape. The girl has to be the one that's bright and pretty, intelligent, a good sport. Howard Johnson's again. Hooray, hooray. Excuse me. A girl, you're 30 years old. You're not married. You're an old maid. A man, he's 90 years old. He's not married. He's a catch. It's a whole different thing.
But even the Joan Rivers have just been blips on the screen. We're talking about the past, present, and future of female comedians. Coming up in October, the 5th annual Columbus Improv Festival will focus in part on the art of female comedy. Joining us is co-founder of Columbus Unscripted and co-director of the upcoming Columbus Unscripted Improv Festival, Barbara Allen. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ann. Glad to be here.
Columbus Unscripted is hosting its 5th annual Columbus Improv Festival next week. For more information, go to the link at our website at wosu.org/allsides. How, when we talk about improv, that's not necessarily comedy, but there's often a comedic element to it. How did you get into this?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, I was in high school, and just at one of our assemblies, Denison's group, Burpee Seedy, came. And I was like, where have people been hiding this improv from me all these years? So seeing them perform really got me excited. And I had a chance then to spend some time with them as a high school student. But I really love the idea of improv, of being present and sort of creating new work with other people. So it's always been something, I mean, I didn't know it existed until I was in high school, but that really got me going, and I've been doing it for a long time now. But it's just a beautiful art. And right, like you said, it's not necessarily funny. It's just about creating in the moment together, for sure.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about women in comedy this hour. We'd like to hear from people if you have a favorite female comedian you want to talk about, how it makes you feel to see this emerging art form, what it matters, why it matters to you. 614-292-8913. I'm sorry, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org, or check out our Facebook page. You know, when I was growing up, I, long before you, thought,
probably
well,
not that long.
It's true, but I didn't think anything of doing what I wanted to do, which was journalism from a very young age. It didn't occur to me that very, very few women in journalism at the time, and certainly men dominated the newsroom, and they certainly dominate the editorial boards and the front offices of newspapers to this day. But what about you? I mean, did anyone ever say, really? You know, how are you going to do that? You know, you're a girl, and later you're a woman, and
right.
Why do you want to do that?
You know, I was just a class clown, so it was sort of in my DNA from the beginning. My mom always says my first words were more cake, and then I was talking from like 10 months on nonstop. So I've always liked to stage in some setting. But I also went to an all-girls high school. And so I think a lot of those dynamics I was not really aware of as much. But yeah, I think I think within comedy, there, like you said, there's so much there's so many men dominating the field, but there are a lot of really powerful women out there now. And I look to a lot of those to guide me in where we're going.
There, a lot of people think that you're born funny, and I'm wondering how much humor is natural, how much is training. I mean, a lot of times you hear that comedians are actually not that funny in person.
Right. That's probably true. There are some, right? You're like wishing and hoping, and then, you're not that funny.
Yeah,
definitely. No, I think a lot of the improv training, if you look around with a lot of comedians out there, they've had some background in improv. They've had some foundational work, actors or even comedians. It's just it's a nice place for people to meet up and really test out their work to try to be present, react to what's in front of you, and build upon what's presented. I mean, it's challenging, but it's fun. It's like being out on a tightrope with no net. Sometimes you fail and you learn, and sometimes you do great. But all of it's moving forward.
I'm really interested in that stand-up on the stage, live comedy. obviously women have been in television comedy really since the beginning. They were absolutely critical to the success, in my opinion, to the success of television comedy, which was a big deal back in the 40s, 50s, 60s. Everyone from Mary Tyler Moore to Lucille Ball, you know, Carol Burnett. Oh, I mean, the list goes on and on. Yeah. It wouldn't be the same without them.
No, no.
And yet men still dominate the field.
Which blows my mind because there are, like you said, there are so many amazing women out there. But yeah, like the stand-up stage, I mean, when you're telling your own story, it's interesting to anyone. But you're right, sort of the male-dominated presence is still out there.
How have you experienced the women aren't funny sentiment? What's been your experience about that? That's a thing. First, why don't you describe what that is?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always kind of out there. I think we have a really pretty broad community here in Columbus of people where it's not as vicious or it's not as outstated. I mean, we've got a lot of comedy and improv and storytelling that's just booming around Columbus in the last 10 years. Men, women, people of color, finding spaces for their voices. There's stand-up and improv and storytelling going on every night in Columbus. So I don't think that it's like, fully out there, but maybe it's an internal feeling too, you know, going into settings, thinking, about the history of comedy and where do I fall in there? And maybe it's the little voice in your own head. A couple of years ago, through the classes that we teach with Columbus Unscripted, we hosted an all-female class looking at doing improv from a female perspective. We had an overwhelming response. We had about 11 students in our class right away. And a lot of women in that class just breathed a sigh of relief to have a safe space to go ahead and talk about some of the things. And again, not that people are aggressive or trying to demean women. I'm not saying that at all. But women wanted to have a freedom to express themselves. And so we had a really delightful class. We grew. A lot of people went on to do improv other places as well. We do have some founding members that are still part of the Sassy Do group that I work with, which is an all-female troupe. But that class was a beginning, at least just one beginning conversation about the female voice in comedy and improv especially.
You know, there was that film a long time ago with Sally Field in it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they got to, I can't remember the name of it, but they got to it a little bit. I think Tom Hanks was in it as well.
Yeah.
And she was a housewife who wanted to go into stand-up comedy, and she had her deal, and people didn't laugh, or they didn't laugh enough, and she failed. But there was also an attitude behind the scenes that was very threatening toward her because she was a woman trying to break into that business. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I've read a lot that it's still an issue, particularly in the big clubs.
Yes. I think that one of the things, at least, that we try to do in our work is create a sort of an everyone matters safe space for people to kind of combat that people can bring all different types of art to the table, but we'll have a space of respect and we'll have a place where we are focused in celebrating the art that's in front of us. So we try to create that kind of environment. I know a lot of others are trying to do that as well. So I think it combats some of that. But again, I feel... when I'm improvising with women, it feels like home to me. It feels like a really safe place where I can do anything and be fully supported. And it's helped us grow as artists, me in particular, having that support because I can push myself and know that I'm going to be supported and I'm going to be carried forward in an ensemble sort of way.
I think, too, the topics that women are able to get into are phenomenal. We had a cut at the top of the hour from Tig Notaro, who's fantastic and hilarious. And, you know, a guy isn't going to necessarily talk about what she'll talk about with her breasts.
Right.
I mean, it's just not going to happen. And there's a whole universe of that out there that's untapped.
Absolutely.
Largely.
Absolutely. I think we're going to talk later about Kelsey Huff, who's a comedian out of Chicago who's coming to our festival this year. Mm-hmm. And in particular, we wanted to have a space for women exploring stand-up storytelling. And she's been doing this for many years in Chicago with a group called The Cates. And it's just what you said, that it's giving women or those who identify as female a space to really explore any of those types of stories and say them with the power that they deserve.
Benson in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Benson.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Hi. My wife and I talk about this kind of, we've had a few conversations about the stigma that men have towards women in comedy, and about how they are often intimidated by the fact that these women are, well, funny. For example, if you look at Ghostbusters, as an all-female cast, the response on the internet and social media toward negative response towards these women was astronomical. It was almost insanity.
It was it was okay as long as largely that same cast was in The Bridesmaids.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But as soon as they tried to branch out into something, you know, really non-generic or non-gender-based.
Yeah. It's just really disappointing to see the comedy, especially the skill of the person or the woman giving, you know, these stand-up routines ignored because of the fact that they're a woman on stage.
Benson, thanks for your call.
Thanks.
By the way, that Sally Fields and Tom Hanks movie. Thank you, Michael. The bonus is called Punchline.
Okay, oh. So. Yeah. How old is Sally Field?
Fact checkers.
Supposed to be in that movie.
I think she must be around 70 or so now.
I mean, like, the movie, she was like in her 50s trying it out again.
I think she was probably like in her 40s or something like
just
that.
Just young.
Yeah.
Still just a young babe.
Spring chicken. What are the different challenges associated with different kinds of comedy, whether it's improv, stand-up, sketch, that kind of a thing? I guess you can speak most directly to improv, because we made the point already that it's not always funny.
No.
It's sometimes humorous. It's sometimes amusing. Mm-hmm. But it's not always funny.
No. I mean, really, the sort of the foundation of the improv is to connect with who you're working with. It's really ultimately about that relationship between the players. And so it's not creation. Like, a sketch is more about creation. Improv is really about discovery. So really coming in with sort of that blank slate, or taking care of yourself in a sense, and really creating together. It's about creating in the moment together. So it really can be a very powerful exchange. And when you get out of your own head, it takes you to these other places, you know, letting your ego go and not trying to force what you have in mind, but seeing what happens when you bring a brick and someone else brings a brick, and you're in a whole different place that you hadn't even thought you'd go to. We had an experience not too long ago during one of our Sassy Do shows. We had a gentleman who was from ShopWorks Theater for disabled adults, and he was there with his aide. And we had decided to have a part of our show where we were going to improvise with someone from the audience. And he came on stage with us. And it was one of the most beautiful experiences of my life so far. So, you know, I just believed that it was going to go well and that we were going to support him. And the suggestion from the audience was a broom. And he put the broom in his hand, the improvised broom, and he looked at my partner Kayla and I, and he said, "Let's fly." And we went through this entire 15-minute story where we were all absorbed in it together, and it was unbelievable. And he was so joyful at the end, and so were we. And we had created something together, and not, you know, just in the moment.
How much does sketch come from improv?
I mean, I think a lot of people start there. They find a nugget of comedy.
I would think Amy Schumer probably operates that. Oh, I'm just get a feeling you just don't come to where she goes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you don't sit down and write that.
Yeah. Well, people have different processes.
Yeah, right.
But I think, you know, a lot of times when I'll look through people's bios or on their websites, there's some inkling in there, some little nugget of improv in their background, that they've been connected in some way with the Groundlings or with Second City or something like that. They've had some kind of connection. So they get it. They appreciate that art for sure.
We're talking about women in comedy today. If you have a favorite female comedian, be it an actress or a stand-up, give us a call. Tell us about it. 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. With me right now, Barbara Allen. She's a co-owner, co-founder of Columbus Unscripted, and is one of the directors of the fifth annual improv festival here in Columbus. We'll be talking about that more. So stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. There is a widely held stereotype about women that they can be beautiful but not funny. Actor and comedian Jerry Lewis made this point just 3 years ago at a Cannes Film Festival where he was being given a special tribute.
I cannot sit and watch a lady diminish her qualities to the lowest common denominator. I just can't do that.
Jerry, who are your favorite female comedians?
My favorite female comedian was Cary Grant.
This hour, we're talking about the world of female comedians. It does not include Cary Grant. Still with us is co-owner of Columbus Unscripted, Barbara Allen. Also joining us by phone is founder of the Comedy Nest in Seattle and producer for the Moth Story Slam, Danielle Gregoire. Welcome to the show, Danielle.
Thanks, Anne, for having me.
Yeah, you I had to double-check the date on that. That Jerry Lewis right. comment because I thought, right. well, maybe he said this 20 years
yeah.
ago, which I mean, I'd give him some kind of, you know, mm-hmm. and I hadn't heard it before. And I was like, holy Toledo.
It's hard not to be furious hearing that clip.
Right.
It just, you know, he wouldn't even say who his favorite female comedian was.
No, because he doesn't know any. Because
<Yeah.
laughs> they wouldn't associate with him, probably.
And I would imagine that when he has performed around, say, someone like a Joan Rivers or anybody
right.
like that,
mm-hmm.
he's probably not been very kind to them.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and I mean, like, Phyllis Diller and Joan Rivers
yeah.
helped pave a path for what he does as well. You know what I
right.
mean? Like, they were at the very advent of stand-up comedy. Stand-up comedy doesn't belong to men.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's frustrating when I hear that, like, to diminish a woman's qualities,
mm-hmm.
like, being funny isn't, like, the highest quality.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Well, I, you know, so many men, at least historically, were diminishing of women in
mm-hmm.
their comedy
right.
routines.
Right, exactly.
But I never felt like Phyllis Diller or Joan Rivers ever diminished themselves.
No.
On the contrary.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No, they built themselves up and us by
mm-hmm.
proxy. Mm-hmm. That they were very strong. And when I know Phyllis Diller would talk about her husband,
mm-hmm.
it's just, you know, that it was in a different kind of manner, right? It was like a more relationship style as opposed mm-hmm. to like this person I own and
mm-hmm.
I'm going to make fun of them. It was like their interactions, what she dealt with. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Women tend to be more relational.
Right.
So
yes.
Danielle, you founded mm-hmm. the Comedy Nest. It's been go ahead.
Right. I founded the Comedy Womb, which was like and I handed over to Seven Feminists before I took over the Moth in Seattle. So, and they changed the name to the Comedy Nest and it belongs
gotcha.
To them now. So I founded the Comedy Womb and then the Comedy Nest currently exists in the same vein as a safer space.
Nice.
So
mm-hmm.
what does that mean, safer? How does that work?
Well, it was sort of tiered in that the Comedy Womb, when I built it, was intended to have everyone working together to get more women onto stage.
Great.
So it was half the spots were reserved for women, and I was a mediator. So there was no heckling allowed
mm-hmm.
because a lot of our comedians had never been on stage before, and you weren't allowed to be mean to the audience either. So
mm-hmm.
it was a safer space. I always say safer with an R because you can't make space is completely safe, especially if you're an open mic.
Exactly.
Or you have electrical outlets. You know what I mean? Like, there's only so much you can do to make a safe space. So I always say safer because if someone said something on that stage, I would say, you know, to an audience that they could come to me. If a comedian felt unsafe on that
mm-hmm.
stage, I would say come to me. And I would be that intermediary between that, the comic and the audience, so that I could talk to them. Because whenever you call someone out on something they've done, they are going to get defensive.
Mm-hmm.
And no one should have to deal with that. But I was prepared to deal with that because I know that people make mistakes. And
mm-hmm.
it's okay. And that's how we learn. And that's how we change things. If you let people make mistakes in private and you talk to them, they will often come back to you
exactly.
and say, I am so sorry. I didn't mean to say that. It was a set that I, you know, I went back to and I didn't think about it and I didn't understand that it was going to have those repercussions. And having someone thoughtful in the middle of that to take it on and say, I care about you and I see that you're trying to change, or I see that you didn't mean it in the way that it happened. Because comedy has to have some sort of freedom. And people,
mm-hmm.
whenever I built this space, they would say, oh, you're taking away our freedom of speech. I'm like, no, I'm making it freer for other people who don't have that freedom of speech.
Yes.
They don't have that space to just talk because they are afraid to talk about the things that they want to talk about. And having me there and having people trust me to maintain that safer space, I think, helped because they knew someone cared about them.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about women in comedy today. You just heard from Danielle Gregoire. She's founder of The Comedy Womb, since renamed The Comedy Nest. She's also producer with The Moth Story Slam. Also with us in the studio, Barbara Allen, co-owner of Columbus Unscripted. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Columbus Unscripted is hosting its fifth annual Columbus Improv Festival next week. For more information, go to the link on our website at wosu.org/allsides. So, Danielle Gregoire, can you tell us some things that happened when Comedy Womb opened?
I mean,
tell us some stories about what was the difference then.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think people were a little confused by it at first because they were so used to comedy clubs. And a lot of the audiences that I would get had sworn off comedy. They weren't going to go. And I spent 3 months before I even opened the show talking to people and saying, this is the space you can come to where people are not going to make you the butt of the joke. Mm-hmm. It's going to be smarter. It's going to be funnier. They're going to punch up, not down. Mm-hmm. And I remember being, I had only been doing comedy, stand-up comedy, for 3 months when I started that show.
Wow.
And then by the time it opened, I was 6 months in. And I originally started it because I went to a comedy club and I watched so many guys get up and I'd signed up and I didn't really understand how it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And the two women had signed up and I waited the whole night and not a single woman got on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the bathroom and the bathroom lights in that club were out in the women's washroom.
Wow.
And I was sitting on the toilet peeing in the dark and I was like, I'm starting my own show. This is ridiculous. And I went back out and I watched another 18 men go up and I talked to my friend Deanne Smith, who runs a comedy show in Montreal. She's originally from New York. And I said, is it egotistical for me to want to start a comedy show to see people like me on stage? And she said, do it. I ran slam poetry shows for 10 years in Canada, so I know how to get people out to a show.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the first three nights, I had someone from The Stranger, which is the paper that Dan Savage writes for, come mm-hmm. out to the very first three shows. And the third show, this kid signed up. He was probably about 20 years old, and he gets on stage. And some of the things that he was saying were so horrible. He managed to talk about rape and prostitutes and in not a meaningful way in the first mm-hmm. minute of his set. And in comedy, you have a light. You light a comic, and then they know to get off the stage.
Oh, okay.
And I lit him.
You know that?
That's the sausage.
It's like a gong,
part.
Right?
Yeah, it's like a gong, a
okay.
silent gong, yeah. where that person knows. And I lit him in 30 seconds, and he was like, what? I have so much more time left. And he went to a joke, and the joke was, I say that in quotation marks,
mm-hmm.
Date rape. Why would I date a woman I was going to rape? Just and I have it on video, and
wow.
I won't ever say his name because he deserves no credit for what he said, but that my audience didn't laugh
mm-hmm.
at all. They were silent, and that is what I tell my audience is the one power they have over a comedian who is saying the most horrible things, because nothing gets to a comedian like silence. And so he left the stage, and I said, did you not know that this was a safer space? And he was like, oh my God, no, I had no idea. I'm so sorry.
He was just so thankful to get on stage somewhere. And
right. And he just, that was what comedy was to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that is often what open mic comics, when they first start out, they want to start with the shocking stuff. They want to talk about raping women. They want to talk about abortion. They want to talk about things that they, just talk about your own experience.
You know what I mean? How did comedy get like that? Because there's that movie, of course, this is all day long I've been saying movies now, and I can't think of the names of them, but it's called The Funniest Joke Ever Told or something.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's the one with Bob Saget.
Yeah,
but
it's one comedian after another saying,
it's a joke. It's not a real joke either. It's just a very long way, the blue joke.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that
the joke's on the joke.
Yeah.
Right.
You listen a long time to hear nothing happen.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I think comedy can be blue. It can mm-hmm. talk about sex. It can talk about important issues. It can talk yeah. about rape. It can talk about abortion. But it needs to be coming from your experience. And exactly. also, like, if you're going to talk about rape, you should be talking. Like, my favorite rape joke ever is a Wanda Sykes joke, which is just like, I wish I had a detachable vagina so that when I went jogging, I could put it on the shelf, and then I could go out, and when the rapist jumps out of the bush, I'll be like, I'm sorry, dude, I left it at home. <You know? laughs> Like, that's a great joke because it deals with the issues that we're mm-hmm. dealing with today. But, like, I watched a comedian, and I'm not going to say his name, but he's fairly famous. He was in the 80s. Threatened to cock slap a woman when she was saying something from the audience. That was his comeback to her. And I was just like, how is it a thing that's allowed? Mm-hmm. Like, how are we so disrespectful to each other when we're just here to make each other laugh and enjoy things? Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah. So mm-hmm. I wanted a room where people felt safe on both sides.
Barbara Allen,
I was just going to
yeah.
say, we actually mm-hmm. have a – hi, Danielle.
Hey.
We actually have a stand-up for stand-up night that we've been doing now for almost 2 years, about mm-hmm. 24 shows on the last Monday of the month. And similar to what you're saying, I like that you said safer space. We've really developed a community there. Part of our premise is to have people focused on our comedians and really establish that relationship with the audience. And like you said, no heckling, really a space where we celebrate the art. Mm-hmm. And we've had such an interesting group of people come.
Right.
It's like, I feel like we put out a bat signal in the sky and people, you start to hear word of mouth and they've come. We've had older people, really older people. We've had high school students. Actually had one high school student who had just got his driver's license and had not told his mom that he drove to this. And so I was like, great, I'm going to be in jail because I'm like, here's some like 40-year-old woman with a high school student and his temps and the snowstorm. But he was amazing talking from his experience.
Right.
But I think when you set that tone of respect that everyone has their time and that we want to celebrate and we want to explore together in some exciting and creative ways. I mean, sure, we're not censoring anybody.
No.
But we want to have a space where we get to the good stuff and start challenging yourself, you know.
You know, sometimes I think hecklers were kicked out of comedy clubs. And they became trolls on the internet.
Oh yeah,
that's where they all are.
Kind of that same vibe out there where they're just going to be haters.
Right. Yeah. Well, and often a heckler will think that they're adding to the show.
Oh, there's that. They're a narcissist. Okay.
So drunk. And they're just like, and the comic is addressing them, and everyone's laughing, but they're laughing at the heckler because the comic is generally dealing with them in a funny way or whatever. And then I've had seen at shows, like comedy club shows, where a heckler will even be like, I'm going to do that again. And in my room, if a heckler heckles, I would walk into the room and like just be like, and like kind of tap them and say, come out with me. They would get no attention. When I host on stage at other shows, which are not safer space shows, I once had like this sort of neo-Nazi guy yelling slurs at the comics who were people of color. And in a Seattle club, and it was an open mic, and he was just sitting in the front row being horrible, and I walked off the stage and I put my arm around him and I whispered in his ear, did your mother not love you? and no one else heard what I said, but he like curled up he did not say a horrible thing for the rest of the night. And every time he went to say something, he would look at me and I'd be like, you can talk to me, but you can't talk to anybody else. and it's funny because like I put myself at risk doing that, but I also don't believe necessarily in just making fun of a person because they're yelling something or something in them that told them that it was okay. Mm-hmm. And it's not okay. So I would walk hecklers out. I would, you know, give them a second chance and say, hey, if you want to be respectful, does someone yell at you at your job? Like, is that something that happens? Does someone like stop you from doing the thing that you've been working months and months on and you only have 10 minutes? Does someone yell at you? And if that's the case, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Beth in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Beth.
Hi. When I was talking about my favorite comedian, I had to say Carol Burnett because she was definitely an improvised. She came from the vaudeville era, but I heard her. She's got like a following amongst younger kids who just watch her on YouTube.
Yeah,
and her her way of influencing people, I heard a radio interview with or on Mark Maron's show with Kristen Wiig, and she wouldn't say anything about it, but I could definitely see where I was like, oh my God, that's who she gets it from. She gets it from Carol Burnett.
Yeah, she probably grew up watching it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
The influence, what about you, Barbara Allen, an influence?
Oh, Carol Burnett, definitely. I remember watching that as a little girl and just loving that they were loving working together. I mean, that's something that's always fascinated me, to see a group of people who are just tickled when everyone else is successful and what they end up creating. I mean, I think I couldn't put the words on it when I was little, but now I can, and I love the bold choices that they made as well. I love Aving Poehler. I love that she's really bold. And again, I think ensemble work really appeals to me, and her work on Parks and Rec, the way that every character on that show is so developed and is so interesting, but they work together so beautifully.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that kind of work, for sure.
What about you, Danielle Gregoire?
I'm from Canada, so I have a lot of really strong, I think, female role models. There was a show called CODCO, and it had half the cast were women, and a lot of them are still doing things today. And I would recommend people look up the show CODCO and check it out. I mean, it's very East Coast Canada, but I think that I was lucky because I came up in an era where sort of women were respected. I had kids in the hall, too, who would play women's parts as men, but in a way that wasn't demeaning, that was very real.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt sort of represented by them, which is a bizarre thing, I think, to say. But that there was comedy in Canada, and a lot of comedians come from Canada, too, I think, as well, because we just have to put up with a lot of things and be polite about it all the time, and comedy is how we talk about
coping.
The issues.
Danielle Gregoire, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
It's good talking.
Yep.
Danielle Gregoire is founder of The Comedy Womb, since renamed Comedy Nest, and a producer for The Moth Story Slam. If you want to join the conversation, we're talking about women in comedy this hour, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Support comes from the Columbus Medical Association Foundation, a 501c3 organization working to effect change in priority areas to improve the health of the residents of Greater Columbus. More about joining the CMAF in supporting a healthy community can be found at goodhealthcolumbus.org.
Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. The world of comedy, it's still dominated by men, but things are changing. Actress and comedian Amy Schumer just broke major ground by becoming the first woman ever to make the Forbes list of highest paid comedians, bringing in $17 million last year. In June, she became the first female comic to headline, and I think she sold out Madison Square Garden in New York as well. But a recent headline in Vanity Fair asked, Amy Schumer is rich, famous, and in love. Can she keep her edge? We're talking about where women stand in the competitive, male-dominated profession and where they're headed. Still with us is founder of Columbus Unscripted, Barbara Allen. And once again, Unscripted is hosting its fifth annual Columbus Improv Festival next week. So you can check out the link on our website for more about that. But Barbara Allen, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks again.
Also joining us by phone now is Kelsey Huff. She is creator and host of The Cates. It's a 9-year all-female comedy showcase in Chicago, where she also teaches the only all-female stand-up class in the city. Kelsey Huff, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
So what's your reaction to that Vanity Fair headline?
I just, I'm amazed that anyone in comedy is making money, especially from Chicago.
You're jealous. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, let's start there.
$17 million. Wow.
Right.
It would be nice to make $30,000.
Yeah. Right.
But, you know, it is amazing to me, you know, as somebody who's like trying to create spaces and kind of in this sort of ground level, really trying to give women these resources to make it to the top. The top. You know, there's one. You know what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. Like, Amy Schumer is the one. Mm-hmm. It's amazing on this grassroots level how many there are of
us.
So often I can't look at the top because the top is frustrating.
Yeah.
To me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, more power to her. You know, go Schumer. You know, get those dollars. You know, it's,
but what about the idea that she loses her edge because she's successful and in love?
Yeah, it's such crap. Please. Can I say crap?
Yeah.
I'm edgy. I have a 9-year marriage. I'm super edgy.
I just thought
all
it was
day long.
You talk about the ultimate disconnect with her success.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, too. I mean, you mention anything with women. Like, everybody's always asking women, like, how do you balance family and career? How do you balance love and comedy? It's like, why are you asking these dumb questions?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just this, it's in us, unfortunately, in the ether of, like, women cannot manage it all. And that's sort of what the media sometimes tells us. Mm-hmm. And in everyday life, that is just not the reality that we're living in. There is a disconnect, I think, between... you know, women, any successful woman, whether you're a CEO, whether it's comedy, whether it's politics, there's this disconnect of like what is really happening and what is sort of being talked about in the world, you know? Oh man, you guys have had a lot of coffee. I'm raring to go.
Okay. I didn't have enough, but Kelsey, you're hosting a workshop for women at the Columbus Improv Festival coming up. I don't know if you've, you know, you've done workshops for both genders. We also mentioned that you have the only one in that's strictly for women in the Chicago area. But how does one for women differ from one for men or from one for both?
For sure. Yeah. So I've taught both. And really the thing that we really focus on when it's all women versus sort of a co-ed class is this idea of owning space and not feeling like you have to apologize.
Mm-hmm.
And now, that is not all women don't feel that way, but a lot of us have been trained, because we live here in the old world, that we have to apologize all the time, right?
Yep.
You know, like, our jokes are stupid, I'm so sorry, I don't belong here, I want to die, I'm the worst, right?
Yeah.
That kind of crap. and that, I have not experienced that. Now, I'm not saying that men are not insecure, men don't have fear, because I have witnessed that, of course. It's
absolutely
a scary thing to grab a microphone. I mean, it's a powerful tool, but men don't have that same training.
Mm-hmm.
So really, that's one of the main focuses, is really to create this non-apologetic environment, and also to really hone in the idea that women really do work well together. Again,
one
of those stereotypes that we're like, we're all getting each other. Oh, we're catty, scratch, scratch, which is just not the case. I mean, you see a lot of reality TV. You know, people are fighting, but we are working together and rising each other up together all the time. And this is a class that helps reinforce those things. And the final thing we do is, stand-up is really isolating. No matter what your gender, you're often sitting alone in a room, writing in a book, thinking you're a genius. So, and then you get out there in the world and everyone doesn't laugh. So it's one of those things where it is also forming this community.
Mm-hmm.
So there is this huge community of women in Chicago. There's over, you know, 500 women have taken this class, in which we've increased the number of women in stand-up, women who can get together to form writing groups, to kind of have like, hey, I had this weird thing happen to me at an open mic, and you don't feel so alone anymore, which is a really, really powerful. And I think because of that, we've also created more women producers in Chicago than have ever been here before. So,
yeah, Barbara Allen, you were talking off air about how well it works.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I like I said, talking earlier about our group Sassy Do, that's just a labor of love for us of women producing work together. And we often look to work with other women, and we definitely find spaces for the women in Columbus to come and perform with us and blend storytelling, stand up, all of that. I mean, that's just a safe haven, and we really love where it goes, like much of what Kelsey just said.
Jerome in Marysville, you're on the air. Hi, Jerome.
Hi.
Go ahead.
When I was a very young kid growing up, KGO Radio in San Francisco would have every weekend KGO Comedy Time. And my favorite memories of childhood is driving across the Bay Bridge as the whole family in the car listening to this, cracking up. And everyone was... you know, being played, Bill Cosby, Joan Rivers, Phyllis Diller. And it would never occur to me that a woman can't be funny. What Jerry Lewis said, that thought would never occur to me. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm just an outlier, but I'm stunned by what he said.
I was too.
I'm horrified.
And when you think about what he's saying about demeaning yourself by getting up on the stage, he's demeaning himself.
Yeah.
He must be saying you have to degrade yourself to do comedy. Mm. And frankly, I know, here again, I must be an outlier. I never thought he was that funny, even with Dean Martin. And most of his comedy was humiliating himself in a way that even, Abbott and Costello and Laurel and Hardy did not. Mm-hmm. But my point is, not every man out there just automatically assumes women can't be funny. And I wanted to reassure you that there was one man out there who, until this morning, just never even gave it a thought.
Love that.
You know.
Yay.
You have our vote.
Thank you, Jerome.
I had a similar situation, until I was sort of raised in really blue collar, also like agriculture, like up in, the border of Wisconsin, like farmers, like all the women had to work with the men. Women were, drinking and smoking and, we're real classy folks. But we were also, everyone was equally hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
It was only until I was like one of the first people in my family to go to college. It was only until I got to college where I was like, wow, I didn't realize that people didn't think women were funny. I also had that same situation. And then you start realizing, you're like, wow, how come I can name all of these male comedians, but I have only a handful of women? That's strange. Why is that? You start realizing and seeing those sort of inconsistencies.
I remember my mom taking me to, like, I'm dating myself here in Columbus, to the, like, through the Vets Memorial to see Lily Tomlin. I was a really young, young girl, really, really, really young at the time. But
still
just being,
in the womb,
so little.
But, blurry memories, but yeah.
But, I mean, I remember seeing her and just, I mean, falling in love with all the characters that she did and just the way she commanded the stage. But like Kelsey and like Jerome, I never thought women weren't funny. I've had big loud talkers in my family and just hearing, I'd never considered it. And then sort of when you hit the real world, sometimes the reality can be tough and you just keep fighting, keep going forward. There's only one direction.
Yeah,
forward.
It's interesting to know. I mean, my favorite, absolute favorite Tonight Show episodes were when Joan Rivers hosted. I mean, there's question about it. She was, to me, the funniest one. We have a cut here of Amy Schumer talking about being Jewish. So let's listen to a bit from her stand-up and intro on Comedy Central.
Cool.
I'm so excited about this. This is amazing. And I just want to get something off my chest just right off the bat. I'm a Jew. It in. No, but seriously, any Jews here? Any, a couple? All right, not bad. Kind of half for New York. I guess the rest of us are out running the world. But it's good you guys are here too. You're really a Jew. You're so pretty. I love it. It's so good. I can't even see your horns. This is fun. This is great.
She's been, criticized for being really offensive. That was very pristine.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Compared to a lot of hers. And some people describe her as self-deprecating in her style as well. I don't actually see it that way. But it's a shades of gray kind of a thing. Kelsey Huff, as far as from where you sit as, a coach, the kind of coach you are, what about that self-deprecating thing that women can do in their stand-up?
Well, here's the thing that's tricky, right? Is like women are kind of, called out when they do things and called out when they don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
So it's like, if you're self-deprecating, then you're not being a strong, strong woman that takes control. And if you are self-deprecating, well, then you're just doing that easy thing that women comedians do. I mean, you're screwed if you do, you're screwed if you don't.
Right.
Sorry, that's crass. Mm-hmm. That's so what I tell people is, like, just create your own comedy.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you stand up, especially when you're just starting out. We're not getting $17 million like Amy Schumer just yet. When you're just starting out.
Soon.
Who cares? Who cares
what everyone thinks of you. This is what's so beautiful about Chicago. It's not New York. It's not L.A. There's no money here. There's no industry here. This is where you get to learn your voice. And the second you get in your head about trying to be a certain kind of comedian is death. You have to find your own voice first.
Right.
You know, you really, really do. And the thing that's going to happen is, I mean, Amy Schumer, as successful as she is getting a lot of pushback.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about any field and any woman trying to create space. You have to push your space. You have to make space for yourself. And there will always be pushback. And you just have to hold on. Mm-hmm. So as far as like, what I don't tell people what kind of comedy to do. I try to see what their vulnerabilities and their truths are and try to pull that out of them to give them that strength as an anchor. That's what I do. I don't tell them like, don't do these jokes. Don't do that joke. I really try to make them themselves, which is the hardest thing ever.
I can still remember the first article I ever wrote where I had an editor go, oh my gosh, you have a voice.
What's
all right.
Happening?
I can still remember that moment when, well, I mean, do you have any like eureka moments, Kelsey Huff, of where you've been kind of working with somebody and they go, oh my gosh, I don't know where that came from.
Absolutely. And I feel like enable to get to that place, right? Whatever. For most people, especially in a group setting, it is reiterating over and over and over that it's never going to be perfect and you were allowed to fail.
Yes.
And as soon as they have this freedom, they're allowed to get, sometimes it's really, really dark stuff. Sometimes it's really goofy stuff. You know, it depends on what it is, but you can see that click in people's eyes and they're like, wow, I'm just allowed to take a risk and to write something that means something to me. And then obviously we give them little tricks and things to make it in the format, but once they click, it is amazing. And it's just that spine they need to get out there and conquer the world, because that's the goal.
Well, and I saw that live with Kelsey, conquering the world. Well, that too. But when she was coaching someone that was here in Columbus not too long ago when she was visiting with us, and the person kind of put forward the maybe what they thought Kelsey wanted to hear, and it was sort of it was fun, but when she, this performer, got to a vulnerable point about herself, like the air, the atmosphere changed, and Kelsey leaned in and said, "That's where we want to hear. That's where we want your stories to start from." Mm. And it was like the whole atmosphere changed, and that person became sort of their authentic self. And I mean, to watch it was really awesome for them to feel that safe to not present what they thought they were supposed to do, and then really find that space that was just digging down deep, and the vulnerability was amazing and truly fun to watch.
Well, that's the art, right?
Exactly.
Absolutely. I mean, stand up, it's so strange because it's just a bunch of drunk people and you're yelling at them. But the truth of the matter is, it is all about your feelings. You know what I mean? It is all about, this is how I feel about the world, and let's put like an absurd or a surprising twist on it. But it's really all about standing there and exposing your raw belly and to make people laugh. And in that moment of power, is amazing, you know? So once we get there, oh, it's just gold.
I can't remember who it was that brought up. It might have been Danielle Gregoire earlier about some guy getting up on the stage, I think it was, at the club she started and the show she started, and he started talking about rape and date rape and really obnoxious, you know, vulgar terms completely. And afterwards she talked to him, and after she kicked him out and kindly, he was like, wow, I didn't know. I didn't know. And I wonder, I mean, this is an issue everybody has, is trying to find that authenticity, right, Kelsey Huff?
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing, too. It's like a lot of the folks that are trying those things, right? I mean, this is where I feel like people, the battle of what to say and what to say and not to say on stage happens, is you have to have a place like an open mic. If you go to open mics, you're going to hear the most horrible things you've ever heard in your life. And it's terrifying. It's terrifying. It really is. But people are trying to. Yes. Most people aren't murderers and serial killers, you know? They're comedians.
They just play
young.
One on stage, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They're young and they're trying stuff out.
Absolutely.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yep,
but there's
yep.
a difference between someone who's young and trying it out and someone who's successful in being a hack or, you know, just trying to do things for shock value. One, it's not shocking anymore. Like, what are you doing? Like, I don't know. I get frustrated just because there's this idea of like, oh, you're censoring me. It's like, well, no, you're just kind of a bad comedian.
Kelsey Huff, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
Sure. Sure, I loved it. Thanks so much.
Kelsey Huff, stand-up comedian, host of The Kates, 9-year all-female comedy showcase. She'll be here in a few weeks. Barbara Allen, co-owner of Columbus Unscripted. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Ann.
Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher.